Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are, or you wouldn't be here. So let's get on with the show. Here's Brad.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another Brad and Body Podcast. We have round two in the bank of the NBL, and we had, although no one would know it, a WNBL preseason in the bank, and we'll talk about that as well. Hello, Botton, my friend. How are you?
I'm really well. I think we should start with ladies first because you're right. The Townsville tip-off was a great idea. Get all the teams under one roof, play a couple of games, preseason games. They ran it on the same basis as the Blitz, where you got 3 points for a win and 1 point for every quarter that you won, which obviously makes it a bit more interesting.
Yep.
Timing, well, we'll discuss that a little bit later, but just quickly running through the results. Southside knocked off Perth. The Adelaide Lightning beat Bendigo, the champs, in overtime.
Yeah.
And it was Izzy Borlase who hit the big shot at the end of regulation to get Bendigo into overtime.
Yeah.
And then Lightning prevailed, which is pretty good. Geelong knocked off Canberra with Sarah Butsoff. She went for a double, 22 and 11, and she went for a double in Canberra's other game too.
Jeez, you had a busy weekend with the Blitzarts, didn't you, with everything that's going on in your family?
I saw it certainly. Then we had Townsville beat Sydney, and what's significant about that was that Townsville won the game and all four quarters, so they got the maximum 7 points out of that, as they also did when they beat Geelong 81-54, 7 points. So they finished with 14 points, which is as much as you can get. So coming out of that tournament, you got to say Townsville fire, although we don't try to read too much into preseason games because not all the players were there, the WNBA players out, girls overseas weren't there, but that's pretty impressive.
So other games, who do you say? Keep going.
I'm just going to say other games. Canberra beat Perth. Southside beat Adelaide. Bendigo bounced back and beat Sydney. But standout team, obviously, was Townsville. And I think the WNBL did very well in honouring the legacy of Tiana Mengekahia by naming the medal for the preseason tournament medal after her, which was won by Izzy Bourne, who's now running around with Southside, not Lightning.
Give me your top four then, in your opinion.
For the women? Give me another week or two just to watch how the incoming players influence things.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I have noticed, mate, is when we watch WNBA games and finals, some of the most prominent players running around in the WNBA were turned into real basketball players in the WNBL.
Agreed.
Yeah,
Sammy
it's a very good competition. But I mean, you know, Jackie Young, there's heaps of them that played for the US team.
Let me just stay on that Tiana thing. Obviously, we mentioned it last week. I did have the honour of saying something on TV on Sunday. I don't know if you heard that, but
it was very good.
I thought, the Kings did a fabulous job. They had a little heart in front of their bench with her surname and number on there. They then had something on their singlet. They announced something which wasn't seen so much on air, which was beautiful, just before tip-off, before we came on air, and everyone stood up and just clapped. Literally clap to welcome, you know, like to sort of like, you know, he sort of got everyone standing up and welcome in the sense of that noise. And it was a bit emotional. You know, I haven't had a lot to do with her, but a little bit, as I said last week. And it was nice. So
it's great to see
an absolute beautiful tribute
to her. It's great to see that we're honouring her legacy.
Well, we should.
Because, she was a fabulous person.
As I said on air as well, basketball is a small family, right? Mm. And when one goes through this, we all feel it, but obviously our thoughts and prayer to the family. Okay, WNBL will be starting very soon, Botton.
October 18th.
Yep, so we'll probably have a chat next week after round three of the NBL, and then we'll start to get into predictions and everything. A few more things going on. So let's move on to the NBL. Obviously, a number of games that were played this week, and it was something that, you know, you sort of sit there and go, all right, let's start it. Melbourne and Southeast Melbourne. Melbourne came out and just went bang and absolutely destroyed Southeast. Cairns had a good win at home against Brisbane. But when I say a good win, they did everything in their possible to lose it, but they actually got the win in the end. New Zealand had it done. Cannot believe they lost that game.
15-0 run, matched by a 17-0 reply by Perth.
couldn't believe it. Illawarra opened their season, lifted the championship flag. It was an absolute a banner, I should say. It was a great game. JaVale McGee, unbelievable. Tasmania, outstanding. But we'll get into that game shortly. Sydney then lost to Cairns. What a woeful shooting performance. And Mr.
Hang on, Mr. King. King Bradley, what a woeful shooting. Is that going to be your description of that game? How about what a gutsy win by Cairns on the road? How about that?
All right, Mr. Adelaide, let's go to Bryce Cotton then. Geez, you're right, mate. Had your dummy switch.
Oh, you know, poor old Sydney shot poorly. Oh,
hey, I resemble that remark. Adelaide 36ers, Bryce Cotton. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Fantastic. 39 big ones.
Yeah, and, could have got 40, except that DJ Vasiljevic decided to jack up a piece of junk when he should have handed it to him. If you're that close to 40, you look after your team.
I felt that too. I saw it. I do have to say, Brisbane injured again. No, you know, no Freeman, Liberty, no, you know, Bryce.
I had Lamar Patterson, mate. Sam McDaniel and Mitch Norton are the ones that are hurting.
My point. That's what I was going to say. Sam McDaniel and Mitch Norton. Bryce Cotton is getting a tougher 39 than what he would have got. That's my only point there. I would have liked to have seen them on the court. You know, he had a lot of open shots. I think they handled the on-ball screen very well. And when Bryce Cotton's that open, there's communication breakdown. But
What are you doing as a coach, though, sending out a kid like Tane Murray or a kid like Alex Dukas and saying, guard the best player of this era and one of the three greatest players we've ever had in this competition? You go guard him. I mean, Adelaide pulled the same stunt last year against Perth. They sent out Keanu Rasmussen or somebody to guard Bryce Cotton. He just eats you alive.
Well, JaVale McGee, the poor things, someone had to try and guard him as well, but that was like me down there. All right, buddy, I'm going to go first this week. I'm going to put in my top six you said to have there. So I've got Melbourne, Adelaide and Tasmania, I think, are easily the top three teams in the league so far. My next ones down there is Perth, Cairns and Sydney. Now, I've put Sydney in there only for the reason that the other four I don't put in there. And that is the main reason. I've seen Sydney one game. I'm going to give them a bit of grace because I feel they shot awfully. And that's the only reason. They still kept, 77 points. And I thought they did okay defensively. But offensively, we'll talk. So do you have any different to the top six?
I do. I'm completely with you on Melbourne, Tasmania and Adelaide. I think Melbourne has already set itself apart from the rest of the competition, which surprises me. But and then Tasmania, they only beat Tasmania by a couple of points down there in the opening round. So Tasmania is definitely in the picture. What worries me is that Majuk Deng, they're already down David Johnson. Majuk Deng definitely did a bit of a hammy.
Didn't look good. Good.
I think Josh Bannon will probably be all right with his wrist, but the other one, not so good. Adelaide, loved Adelaide. Bryce Cotton is going to help them bandage over a lot of things, because I thought some of the substitution pattern in that game was just impossible to follow. But fortunately for Adelaide, Stu Lash Stu Lash also made a whole bunch of ridiculous subs. When Terrell Harrison is kicking a team's butt, don't sit him down. Silly. So anyway, that's Melbourne, Taz, Adelaide. Then I've got Illawarra, Perth and Cairns is my six.
Okay. Agree with Cairns having in the six. So let's go down the list and we'll go through that way like we normally do. Let's start with Melbourne. Came out 29 points in the first quarter. They literally 28-13 in the final quarter.
That's when they just went up a gear, Brad, and said, can you come with us? And Southeast Melbourne said, nope.
Is there anyone better in the league at the moment than Milton Doyle? I know we got Bryce, but that's one game. You know, Melbourne have played three, but geez, Milton Doyle is humming, buddy.
Yeah, he is, because he's back in an environment that he had a couple of years ago in Tasmania where there are a lot of good players around him. So he's not quite the focus all the time, whereas I thought he struggled a bit last year in Tasmania, didn't have as good a season. So now he's still got Chris Gordon to come back.
Yeah, I know. 18 points a game, shooting at 42% from the three, having a wow of a season so far. It's very early, but he's definitely fantastic. I just thought every player that came on just did a great job. Krizlovic is really giving him some good minutes, 12 points, 5 rebounds. Tyson Walker, I'm warming to that point guard. Mm-hmm. I really am. Nice minutes from him, 13 points, 8 assists in only 26 minutes. But everyone else logged in. Dash Daniels is really impressing me as well. He's a young kid, gets 2 feet in the paint, takes the hit. Man, he's a baller. Like, we will not see him again in this league. He is going to the NBA.
He's still a teenager, though.
Oh, man. Oh, you're right. Would he have a second year? I don't know. But, geez, I'm telling you, with what I've seen, he's NBA ready soon, if you know what I mean. Like, you just know it's getting there.
He really does remind me of his brother. I mean, totally. That's an obvious thing to say, but he does.
Yeah, totally. All right. So, look, let's talk about Southeast Melbourne then. That's just like Southeast Melbourne DNA is playing hard. If they're not playing hard, they're not going to win games. Mm. I'm still a big believer they will not make the six unless they get an American point guard. Or I like Foxwell. I like Glover. I just think they're not. I think you need an American point guard to play. I think with Foxwell coming off the bench and going bang, bang, Glover doing that, I think that works. I just think they're going to struggle. Nathan Sobey had 26 points. I get it, but I just think they need that point guard, and I'm not sold on Maldonado at the moment as well. Your thoughts?
I completely agree on Maldonado. I think they're carrying him. I think they need to bring in a couple of guys, not just the one. They need a point guard for sure. I have to agree. Love Foxwell, but again, you put Foxwell up against a Bryce Cotton, or you put him up against Andrew Andrews, or some of these guys that are going to make life difficult. You've got to have that American point guard as your first option. I see the same headache at Illawarra. I don't think Zachary McLaughlin is an NBL one import. I see him as an NBL one import, I should say. Not really. I mean, he hasn't shown me enough. I hope he finds something else. But at this stage, I think they need to go and get a better point guard at Illawarra
for them. Okay, we'll come to them. We will come to them. Let's go to the. You know what? We will come to them now because we'll talk Tassie and Illawarra. Okay, so let me just set this scene if it's okay. Got down there. The place is pumping, and I tell you, the Illawarra chants going. They lifted that banner. It was absolutely electric. I remember when I was playing for the Kings, I was captain and I was told, hey, go and pick up this new import that we've got coming in. And his name is AC Earl, right? You will remember him.
Oh, yeah.
I get to the airport. The first thing he walks out, I didn't need to be introduced. I realized it was him. Okay. Yeah. He is seven foot two. He was the biggest guy I'd ever seen. I thought Mark Bradkey and James Crawford were the biggest when I was playing and I saw them. This guy was another level, the legs, the arms, the whole thing. And ironically, the funny story of this is his brother walked out first, introduced himself, gave me a VHS, not a VHS, a little tape, recorder, and said, here's my song, let's play it. He was a DJ or something. It was hilarious, right? So he wanted to sell his records. The reason I'm bringing this up, JaVale McGee is that guy. When I saw him, he is the biggest human being I've ever seen.
Well, let me say, ACL... You know, I once wrote that his sweat would cure cancer because he didn't work very hard. But he was such an imposing figure that when he wanted to, he could have dominated our league in the way that JaVale McGee is going to. Because he I'm sorry, I love Will Magnay, but he ate him up.
Absolutely. Not a body, ate him up. I said it on air. Did you see when they stood next to each other? It was almost a head difference.
Yeah.
Now, Magnay's a big boy.
Yes, right. And a big fan of his, but Jesus, McGee.
So let me ask you this, and I'm going to try and put it in the right way. I love JaVale McGee. I think he's going to be brilliant. The only thing that worries me, and it's probably wrong, is there any Taco Ford in this where you're going to have to protect him in a zone because of that on-ball screen at the top that they may struggle to double?
Yeah. Yeah, what you're saying, he's doing the roll down. He's not staying up. Yeah, well, yeah, there's
drops.
There's
gonna be He drops off.
There's going to be some issues, Brad, but the reality is I thought they were still sort of getting used to playing with him. Yeah. And I think if, no offense to McLaughlin, but if you've got a slightly better guard, even if Dave O'Hickey was playing, I think that game may have played out a little bit differently to what it did. Although ultimately Tasmania worked out a way to play around him, around McGee, so he wouldn't hurt him to the extent he was. I mean, I have not seen a better debut by an import, 32 and 13. I haven't seen a better one. And at 37, I think what we've forgotten is just how good a player he actually has been, because, you know, you get caught up in all that Shaqton stuff and you sort of think, oh, yeah, he's a bit of a clown. He's not he is not. You can capture anybody's five worst moments and make them look bad, but this is a guy that was on the US Olympic team. That means he's in the best 12. You know, unbelievable. I don't see anybody stopping him in a – without doubling, and then you just need your shooters working.
Can I tell you a couple of things about him? He's from Flint, Michigan, right? Yep. Which is where Bruce Bolden's from, ironically, right? So he loves his Michigan. His mum is a Hall of Famer, has won two championships playing with Cheryl Miller. Best right? So unbelievable. World. He played 600 games for Golden State. He's a record producer, right? So he's not a dummy, like you said. In 2020, he co-produced something, I don't know what it was called, with Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Right. Stuff like that. 10 seasons. His wingspan is 2.3 meters. Right. Rudy Gobert was the biggest one at 2.35. Right. But now Victor Wembanyama is 2.4. 2.3 meters.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he blocked some shots like he was just playing volleyball, wasn't he?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Yeah. I'm with you. I worry for Ja'Cory McLaughlin. I'm sure he's a good player. I'm not worried in the sense of the point guard getting the ball and whether Davo or not. The biggest thing I worry with that is Tyler Harvey. Tyler Harvey took 22 shots on the weekend. He made 8 for 19 points. Every shot was against the muscle. It reminded me of two or three seasons ago pre-Tatum, where it just felt like he's had to create. There's 10 seconds left. Here's the ball. Everyone's standing around and him going bang, 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 where last year he didn't have to do that with Trey. Hence, both of them making the All-NBL first team. So my biggest worry for them is you need Tyler scoring. I don't think you're going to get that unless you've got that extra scorer power. Maybe Davo Hickey's the answer, mate. I love him. I'm not sure if, as a starting point guard, that is the answer. Time will tell.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on all of that.
Okay, so let's talk about the Adelaide game. That's the next one on the list. You were there, I'm assuming?
No, hell no. I'm watching in the comfort of my home. I'm not going to be cramped up in those bloody entertainment centre seats. I can't sit there. I can't sit there for 2 hours, Brad. Oh. You know, I just cannot. And it's okay. I'm getting old and crotchety and grumpy.
What do you mean you're getting old and crotchety? You've been there for years, you grumpy bum.
The music, the non-stop music, some idiot yelling into the microphone, make some noise. I mean, give me a break, will you? You know, at home you can just turn the volume down. Plus, you know, you don't have to go to the concession stand and pay a fortune for, you know, a Coke. You can just go to your fridge and pull it out. I'm much more comfortable watching from home. I'm not in any rush.
Are you worried about Adelaide at all? Can you be with Bryce being Bryce?
Yes, I think.
What are you worried about?
I'm worried about the coach. I don't think Mike Wells, I think he's the weak link in this group.
Okay.
Because you're going to have to keep them together. And that's why I say I think Bryce Cotton, being Bryce Cotton, will win a lot of games for him that will sort of seem to tape over.
Winning covers everything, right?
Well, I mean, Flynn Cameron playing out of his skull first few minutes. Okay, go and sit down now. Yeah. Isaac Humphries, come and sit down now. It's like, and at one stage you got Isaac White rolling defensively onto Terrell Harrison. Yeah, you couldn't even see him playing defense. He just shot it in over the top. Mm. Next play, Dejan Vasiljevic is defending Terrell Harrison. I mean, come on now. Are you coaching here? You know, I don't have a lot of faith in Stu Lash. That coaching by committee, Jazz, that don't work for me. There's got to be a voice that says, this is what we're doing.
I don't know. Like, I don't have a problem with an assistant coach. Let me rephrase
this. Neither
do I. I never liked the assistant coaches sitting in timeouts. I didn't like it. I remember when I was growing up, an assistant coach never did that. When I was coaching, it never did that. When I was an assistant for Gorge, mate, there was no way I'd be sitting on that doing that or anyone else.
But also, I'm sure you agree, there'll be a moment that you'll think, you know, the assistant coach, maybe he's got all the last minute plays. So you go, okay, sit down. We're going to watch this. You know, he'll throw up the play. I've seen Scott Rock do that. And I've seen other people do that. That's okay.
That's where I have warmed to it, with the fact, okay, I can understand that's your play. if there's 12 seconds left in the game and we've got to do that, you be ready on the board. And that's been spoken, so I get that. My thing, obviously, for Brisbane is health. Casey Prey, that is balling. I think they need more out of Jalen Adams, but I worry for that team. I just can't see. I think they're going to have to play great, and that might, and that'll be a close game. You know what I mean? Like, they're not, they're just not there. They've got to pray that Tyrell Harrison doesn't get injured. They have to pray. If he gets injured, they're in a world of hurt. Anyway.
Absolutely. Okay.
Moving on. Let's go down.
I just want to briefly talk about Cairns, because I thought in both their games, both their games, the officiating was curious. All right, that's what I'm going to say. It was curious. Because late in the game against Brisbane, Jack McVay is on the ground after a rebound. Oh. The ball's underneath him. Jalen Adams jumps onto him, buries his shoulder into his head, not intentionally, but he's trying to get the ball. That is a no. He's just not jumped on Jack McVay. That's an unsportsmanlike foul. That's two shots and possession. No, that's jump ball, apparently. And Brisbane had the arrow. Fast forward to Sydney, late in the game. They're in front of the Sydney bench. Jack McVay's on top of the ball. Matthew Dellavedova dives on top of him. Oh, it's a jump ball. It's not an unsportsmanlike foul. It's a jump ball. Oh, and Sydney's got the possession arrow. Oh, what a cheese. How lucky are they? I think that kind of stuff really scares me. That's all I'm going to say.
I agree with what I did find funny is I believe that I think Jalen Adams got the rebound for that possession, I think, because it was a jump. I don't know how I heard that, and I don't know how true it is. But anyway, look, I agree with you. I think I'm sure the referees will come out. And I didn't think the Sunday one was as obvious as the Friday night one. Not only that, the replay, like, you could not show that any clearer, you know. Like, that's a weak, that's like, you know, you're 10 in the bin in the NRL for that shot, you know what I mean? So
what about also in that game, not once, not twice, three times Adam Ford successfully challenged, and the third one was embarrassing, where Kendrick Davis threw himself in the air and they want to give him three shots. They want to give him a three-point attempt until you see the baseline camera angle, where I think even you might have gone a little bit red and gone, oh dear, that nobody touched him.
Yeah.
You know, so when that's three times.
I did get two wrong, not the third. I did get two wrong, not the third.
Yeah, but I mean, just I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, oh, wow. Do we not want a small market team to win too many games? Is that it? It worries me a little bit. That stuff worries me.
Yeah, no, see, I can't buy that.
Of course not, because you're a Kings fan.
Yeah, no, but I can't
you're buy a big that. You're the biggest market there is.
Yeah. Well, look, okay, let me talk some positives. Watching Tasmania and watching Cairns both times in both games and calling them, their half-court offense was outstanding. Cairns's half-court offense was amazing. I thought Rayne Smith played a brilliant game. Jack McVay, arguably one of the best players in the league, right up there with Milton Doyle right now. I'm going to put Bryce there, but you know where I'm coming from, Hamilton. Andrew Andrews was brilliant. He's just got to get over these cramps. It could hurt them in the end.
Well, he's only just off the plane. He'll be right by
100%. 100%. Yeah. But he was the difference, no question. All right, we're moving on now.
Quickly, I just disagree with you, Rayne Smith. I think he's an outstanding shooter when he's open. Get the ball to him when he's open, he's making that shot 9 times out of 10. Stick a hand in his face, he's taking a bad shot and missing. We move.
Perth.
What do you got?
Perth, New Zealand. They stink. Perth, I mean, that was just unbelievable. You said it as we got in here. A 15-0 run to start the third quarter for New Zealand. A 17-0 run to finish the game for Perth. Yeah. Now, I'm just going to tell you, 27-19 was the fourth quarter period. Let's do our sums. That means New Zealand were up 19-10 in that quarter.
Mm.
And then they 17 straight.
The thing I liked the most about it,
two things.
Dylan Windler was awful in game one.
Yes.
Played outstanding.
Yes.
Hats off to him. That's how you respond to a bad performance. You come out and give a great one.
Mm.
Jaron Riley, subbed in almost, it seemed, out of desperation, because the backcourt, if you look at their numbers, the backcourt's numbers were horrific, from Mason Jones, none of eight, to Henschel, two of eight, to Pepper, one of seven. It was horrific. He's gone to Jaren, really, and he has played four and a half, however many minutes he played, excellently, hits the three that actually clinches the game, drives to the hoop, makes it. I was so happy for him, because he's under a lot of pressure that's not of his own making.
Yeah, I feel for him as well. Yeah,
I thought that was great. I was really happy for him.
Just want to add that Mason Jones, 0 of 7. Elijah Pepper, 1 of 7. This is from the three-point line, sorry.
Yeah.
Ben Henshaw, 1 of 5. 2 of 19 between their starting three. They shot 6 of 35 from the three-point line, and they still won the bloody game, buddy.
That's because Isaiah Liafa had a little moment, though, for New Zealand, where he thought, I'm Isaiah Liafa, and he hits four threes in a row. Misses threes on either side of that, but he ran a
four
ran
or seven four. From the 3-point line.
And it was like, Isaiah, we didn't see this at Sydney. We didn't see this. We haven't seen this for a while.
It was great.
All right, let's move on. Come on, what's your best moment?
My best moment, without a doubt, JaVale McGee. Now, I can't pinpoint one of them because there's probably three, but the one where he got in the block and just turned, and then just threw it down one-handed.
Yes.
Oh, man, that was nasty, and I loved it.
That was going to kill you.
That was my best moment by far.
Mine was Zillin Cheatham, who I thought played a very good game for Adelaide. He's on the fast break, the windmill dunk. Oh my, bam!
That was
excellent.
He's like a spring, isn't he? He's like doing, you know what I mean? Yeah. Really good. My player of the round, Bryce Cotton, can't go against it. 39 points. Have you agree, or what are you thinking?
I completely agree. I would also give a shout out to JaVale McGee.
Yes.
But for me, it's actually Jack McVeigh, because he's gone close to a triple-double in the first game, 19, 9, and 9. He's had 24 in the win over Sydney on the road. He's shown composure. He's shown good shot selection. He's led that team the way you'd want him to. So I'm really thrilled for him, because it's two games and he played well in both. I kind of lean towards him, but nothing against Bryce was exceptional and JaVale McGee was exceptional. Are we going to do a quick one through the next round of games, or are you going to give us some
Rosen? Yeah, but first off, give me a nasty.
My nasty is that the WNBL, you know, gets it sort of half right. It gets it right in having a preseason tournament, adopting the rules from the Blitz, having a Tiana Mangekahia MVP, but it chooses to play it on the weekend of the AFL Grand Final. I mean, can you just have a look at what's on? Because there's no reason why they couldn't have played that same tournament this weekend coming up, because the NRL Grand Final is not on Saturday afternoon, it's on Sunday night, which means if you started the tournament on the same day of the week, went through, everyone would be on their way home by Sunday afternoon. So why you can't actually go, listen, this is a great idea, let's do it that weekend when we don't clash. Asking you this question, Brad, what publicity outside of the WNBL's own website, what publicity did you see for that tournament?
None.
Nothing.
That's why I said at the beginning of the thing. Apparently there was a tournament on the weekend.
Yeah. Okay.
And I had to go searching for it.
That's mine. What's your rattler?
My rattler is, I'm going to go to the Illawarra Hawks, and I mentioned it before, I am concerned for Tyler Harvey. I think this guy is an outstanding baller. Ever since he's stepped on the court in Australia, he's been brilliant. I worry for him. The shots that he had to take on the weekend were four shots that he's not going to make them at a high percentage. No player can. And I said it before, he shot however many shots it was. He made eight of them, 22 or whatever it was, and he shot eight shots. And the eight that he made was so damn tough. The guy is going to struggle if he has to do that. We've seen it a couple of seasons at Illawarra already. That's where I'm worried for him. I'm hoping Dave O'Hickey makes that help for him, but Davo's not back for another three or four games at a minimum is what I'm hearing. So that's a real shame, and I hope that they sort that out.
That's a hell of a poke in the eye.
Yeah, I will just add, he's a bloody good coach, Tatum. So we'll see what he does, right? So, okay, give me your winners. Cairns starting the weekend. Sorry, starting on Thursday it is, I believe. Cairns up there against Adelaide.
I've got Adelaide. I just can't go past Bryce at the minute. What about you?
Don't forget, doesn't he score 50 nearly every time he goes to Cairns?
Yeah, he loves that place.
I'm going Cairns at home. Perth,
good on you.
Perth to play Illawarra. I can't go against Perth at home.
I can. I'm going to go Illawarra.
Now, you know why I also worry about that? Tatum doesn't lose two in a row. I'm with you. I it wouldn't shock me. Sydney playing New Zealand. I'm going Sydney. Yeah. Yeah. Brisbane playing at home against Tassie.
I worry about Tassie's injury. You know, if they haven't replaced Johnson and they Deng is out, I think that starts to give Brisbane a chance. But I like Scott Roth way more than Stu Lash. I'm going with Tasmania.
I'm with you. That's the only reason. And I can do it. Now, just to mention as well, don't forget there's an NBA game on this weekend. That's why Southeast Melbourne
Friday, Melbourne,
playing.
New Orleans.
Correct. Friday, Melbourne United play New Orleans. Yep. Sunday, Southeast Melbourne play New Orleans. So
who are you picking for those?
I'm picking the referees now, of course. Zion. He's going to be awesome.
Okay. Body, the Pelicans.
You can finish, mate. Talk to me.
Goodbye. We've covered it. See you.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great week. And, of course, check us out on all the socials. Love you all a lot. See you next time.
You know what, Brad? They may have said a lot about JaVale McGee and the NBA Shaq calling him, you know, out on some of the things he's done. You know what he's going to do? He's going to make every centre in the NBL look like a fool.